We've read from the Gospel of John where the Lord Jesus Christ is brought before Pilate. The Sanhedrin had tried Jesus under cover of night. Then they led him out early in the morning, initially to Caiaphas and then to Pilate. And everything is speeding towards the cross. But we read in John chapter 18 at the verses at the end of the chapter where Pilate speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ before he eventually caves in to the Jewish pressure to condemn the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pilate conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ really centers around one question, the question where Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you a king?" And the answer is, Jesus, yes, is a king. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens. He's the king who sustains and rules and governs everything. But the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary king. He says that his kingdom is not of this world. So John is pointing out to us that in his gospel, and indeed all the gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it abundantly clear he is the messianic saviour, the king, the promised deliverer who would rule over God's people. The Jewish people understood that the Messiah would be a king. So that's what the Jewish leaders who were against Jesus, that's what they used when they told Pilate that Jesus claimed to be a king. And therefore they said he was a threat to the Roman Empire. So we're going to look at these verses at the end of John 18 tonight in three ways. First, the true king is oppressed by a lie, verses 33 and 34. Second, the true king is questioned by Pilate, verse 35 to the beginning of verse 38. And then lastly, the true king is rejected by the mob, the closing verses. So let's look first of all, the true king is oppressed by a lie. The Lord Jesus Christ is before Pilate in the praetorium, the Roman governor's headquarters. It seems that Pilate didn't want to simply roll over and do exactly what the Sanhedrin wanted him to do. We should understand that the Roman governor Pilate didn't like the Jews, and neither did the Jews like Pilate. But they had a necessary relationship. The Roman occupying forces had legal authority to put someone to death. The Jews wanted to put Jesus to death in a public execution and in a gruesome way. So they had to prove that Jesus was a threat to the Romans. So the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, couldn't present a theological case against Jesus because the Romans wouldn't care about such a charge. The Jews couldn't bring Jesus to Pilate and say, "This man challenges our teaching. You need to put him to death because he challenges what we say, our religious teaching." They needed a political charge. So this primarily political charge that they brought against Jesus was that he claimed to be a king. And they were saying, if he's a king, then he's a threat to the Romans. Because if he's a king, he could gather followers and attempt to throw the Roman establishment. But that was a trumped-up charge. We were thinking this morning, Pilate's court was a kangaroo court. The Lord Jesus Christ was no threat to the Roman Empire. But he was a threat to the Jewish establishment, which is why they wanted him executed. Pilate seems to have had some understanding of the situation. In Matthew's gospel, we are told that Pilate knew that the Sanhedrin were motivated by envy. The Lord Jesus Christ was drawing the crowds. People were eager to hear Jesus preach. The Jewish leaders had been sitting back and watching this tide of those eager to hear Jesus preach and teach. But you have this picture then. The servant of the Lord, who by the other gospel accounts was essentially silent before Pilate. And this Jewish claim that he was guilty of insurrection by claiming to be a king. He was a threat to the Roman establishment. But by all appearances, the Lord Jesus Christ did not look like a political threat to Pilate. But the balance was did Jesus claim to be a king? Which is why Pilate cut straight to the chase. Chapter 18 and verse 33. Then Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Prior to this incident, king of the Jews, it's only found once before relating to the Lord Jesus as the king of the Jews. And if you think back, when did someone speak of Jesus as the king of the Jews? The answer is the wise men, the ones who had traveled from afar, led by a star. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, they ask, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And that was the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was king. In fact, he's king over all. But Pilate's idea of a king was a geopolitical king. And it's an interesting question, isn't it, when Jesus is asked, "Are you a king then?" Because if Jesus had just said, "Yes, I am a king," then Pilate might have thought that he was a political threat. But if Jesus had said, "No, I am not a king," that wouldn't have been honest. So the Lord Jesus Christ asks this clarifying question: "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to know, was Pilate asking about Jesus out of a real interest? Or was Pilate doing this because he'd been pushed to do it and was repeating what others had said? One of the things about living in 2025 is that, thanks to the internet, you can Google something. It's become an expression, isn't it? Google it. And there's that endless supply of information. And we're hearing about AI is coming, and we're all wondering, what effect will artificial intelligence have? But the other side of this unlimited information, Google it, and there it is that the internet answer can come between us and the original source material. We can settle for Googling it instead of reading the original for ourselves. So you can Google what is Lord of the Rings about. You find out from Google what Lord of the Rings is about without reading Lord of the Rings for yourself. It's a big book. And I use that as an example because you can just settle for what someone else says. We even have on the news now, we have news stories about news stories about news stories. I wonder sometimes, this is not news. We can read books about Jesus. We can hear people talk about Jesus. But do we go to the infallible truth of the scriptures to tell us about Jesus? Or are we just going to blindly accept what someone else says? And Jesus is asking Pilate that sort of question. Are you asking this question because you're interested in finding out who I am? Or are you asking this question because the Jewish elite have said something about me? Because everything the Jewish elite was saying about Jesus was based on a lie, which is one of the deep ironies of this passage. The true king was oppressed and crucified for a lie. The lie was, here is someone who is a threat to the Roman Empire. The true king is oppressed by a lie. Jesus was no political or military threat at all. So the true king is oppressed by a lie. Secondly, the true king is questioned by Pilate. "Am I a Jew?" Pilate asks. "Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Pilate was saying he didn't care about Jewish affairs. Pilate was not interested in theological discussion. "What have you done? What have you done? What's the charge?" When Jesus was asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" In verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Now implicitly, Jesus is acknowledging he is a king, not a military king, not a political king. My kingdom is not of this world. But by speaking of a kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is implicitly saying that he is a king. If you have a kingdom, then you are a king. But my kingdom is not of this world, Jesus says. My kingdom is not built on violence. It's not based on bloodshed. It's not based on war. It's not an earthly kingdom. One country invades another country and attacks it. We see examples of that where one country cruelly attacks another country, takes its land, sheds the blood of people, looks for new resources, wants to expand its territory. That's what we think of kingdoms. But the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear. Though he is a king, his kingdom does not operate in that way. In fact, Jesus makes it very clear, if his kingdom was of this world, then people would have been fighting to protect him. And notice that the Lord Jesus Christ, we might expect him to say, would be fighting the Romans, but instead he points to the Jews. If his kingdom were of this world, he says, then his servants would have fought to prevent him from being delivered to the Jews. So if Pilate had been fair, if Pilate had been honest, he would have released Jesus there and then. Jesus was no threat to the state. He was causing problems to the Jewish establishment, but he was no threat to the Roman state. But then the Lord Jesus Christ explicitly acknowledges that he is a king. Verses 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." So how are we going to understand this king? This kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first and foremost, we understand that Christ's kingdom is a spiritual one, which is why he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus' kingdom, his spiritual rule and reign over his people, his rule and reign over the church. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it this way. How should we think of Jesus as a king? How does Jesus fulfill the office of a king? Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself. Is Jesus your king? Has he subdued you, turned you from your rebellion and unbelief to trust in him? Jesus executes the office of a king in ruling, in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us. Do you look to Jesus as your king tonight to rule over you and to defend you? And in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. The spiritual kingship of Jesus Christ, his royal rule. And it bears directly upon salvation then. The salvation of God's people. Jesus subdues and rules over his people by redeeming them, by saving them, by cleansing them, by making them citizens of God's kingdom. You can say there's a small province of Christ's kingdom here tonight, right here in Finchley, in the hearts and lives of those who all recognize Jesus Christ as Savior King. So I'm saying tonight, is Jesus Christ your King? Do you look to him as the one who conquers all your enemies, sin, death, hell, the world, Satan? You say, Jesus is my king. And his kingdom then expands as men and women all over the world submit to Jesus the king. Now that's important for us to keep in mind and to think about, because more and more the emphasis is being put on extending Christ's kingdom by starting a soup kitchen or beautifying the community. And those may be important things. But if we're not careful and if we confuse categories, we might be led to think social activity is the engine that drives the church. That's what expands Christ's kingdom. And then the ministry of the word of God and the gospel becomes secondary. You might even wonder, why are we spending our time on a Sunday morning and Sunday evening around the word of God, when there are many social needs all around us in the community? And you can misunderstand God's kingdom then. Christ's kingdom does not expand by the sword. Christ's kingdom expands by the power of his word and the spirit, by the word of God, by the sacraments, by prayer, by the ordinary means of grace, which brings people into the kingdom of God. Now, when the kingdom of God and the word of God changes people, that spurs people to love their neighbor, seek the good of people around, meet people's needs, that often results in social activity. But the ministries of the church, those social ministries, are to be born out of the ministry of the word of God. So you enter God's kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're to know the truth and belong to the truth, Jesus as your king becomes the primary focus in your life. You serve Jesus Christ the King. You share through word and deed what it means to serve this King. You invite others to come and meet the King. You pray that God's kingdom will be seen, that others will receive and enter the kingdom of God by faith. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And it's amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted to us the mission of praying that his kingdom would be established in this world. And we know that will not happen fully until he returns in glory. But we expand Christ's kingdom as we make Jesus the King known and as we wait his glorious return for the consummation of the kingdom. So we must get things in the right order. The Lord Jesus Christ works in establishing his kingdom in us. And then that results in us seeking to make others known as to who Jesus the King is. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. So the point is very simple. We pray for Jesus to work in us by the Spirit, establish his kingdom in us, and then that brings transformation in us and results in the message of the kingdom penetrating the world around. Are you a king then? Pilate asks. Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king.